Okay, so we're going to go into Ashrei. Ashrei is going to take us 3 weeks to get through. This week is going to be an introduction. Some of it is a little repetitive of things we've said, but the first part of this is from Rav Shimshon Pinkus, and this is where he brought this down, so a little chazar on certain points never hurts either. We know Tefillah split, we said, into four sections. There's the Brachos and Korbanos section, Psugi de Zimra, Kriya Shema and the Brachos, and then Shemona Esrei. Each part is connected another world. Psuki de Zimra is connected the Olam HaMalachim, and since the main avoda of the Malachim is Shira, therefore Psuki de Zimra, we say Shira. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus tells us Shira is the Nishmas Olam. And Chazal tell us that this Perek Shira, which tells us the Shira of every single creation. And we know when Yeshua commanded the sun to stop, he did not say Lamo, to stand still. He said Shemesh Givon Dom, that the sun and Givon should be silent. And the ikar of his command was that the sun should stop singing Shira, and therefore when it did, it would also stop moving. So in the Neshama Tivis of the world, as we said, is Shira, as we see all creation sing Shira. But the true Neshama of the world is man. There's a special avoda placed on a person of saying Shira, and that's the Etzem Chaim of the world. It's what gives koach to the world. And this is Psuka de Zimra, because the world that keeps our world alive is the Olam HaMalachim. As Chazal tell us, there is no blade of grass that does not have a malach that tells it to grow. So it's our Shira that then keeps the world running. So if so, Psuka de Zimra, as in the whole Tefillah, is one of the foundations of this world. The reason for the placement of Shira here is because, as we know, Psuka de Zimra is preparation for Kriya Shema and Shemoneh Esrei. And we know that it says, Ki ein lovo el shar hamelech bel vosak, one cannot come to the king dressed in sackcloth. And even to a melech basav adam, there's music constantly being played in his throne room. As the king said to Nehemiah, Madua panecha royim, v'ata ein chachola, ein zekim ra lev. Why is your face, bad or down? You're not sick. It's only because you have an evil heart. And Rashi explains that the sadness comes from an evil heart because the king was accusing Nehemiah of wanting to poison him with the drink that he had just given him. And therefore we see next to a king, one always has to be happy. So Chazal instituted Psuka de Zimra so we can prepare ourselves properly to come before the king in Kriya Shema and Shemoneh Esrei. There's an additional understanding as to why we say Psuka de Zimra. Psuka de Zimra is also like it's the prosdor, it's the hallway into the Beis Melech. And the Shira is the preparation for what we're going to say afterwards, the Yichud Hashem in Kriya Shema, and the standing properly before Hashem in Shemoneh Esrei. Now we know during Shemoneh Esrei, our heads fill up with many foreign thoughts, and they not only disrupt our kavanah, but affect the entire tzura of our davening. Now, when we don't have a specific tira to disturbing our thoughts, and things are more or less in order, so with difficulty, one can push these thoughts out. But when one has a big problem in life that affects his menuchas hanefesh day and night, of course, during Shemoneh Esrei, it comes very strongly to him, and he's not able to push it out. And as soon as he says Baruch Atah, the problem takes over his whole mind, and it's very difficult to overcome it. However, one who enters Shemoneh Esrei with his lahavos has an easier time concentrating. And that is the goal of Psuka de Zimra, to reach Shemoneh Esrei with this Kedusha, with this Hislavos al Kedusha. And everyone has something in life to be enthusiastic and thankful about. We also mentioned that the word Psuka de Zimra comes from the Lashon of Zimora to prune. Now the Yetzer Hara comes to stop our tefillos by distracting us with all our different sorrows. However, when one sings, he brings life. He brings to life the clarity of things, and that there's an Hashem, and Hashem gives us brachos. He created this world and Olam Haba, and the world doesn't end with a toothache, a minor issue, and it so too doesn't end on a major issue. And by saying Psuka de Zimra, we prune away this hold that these kochos have on us to block our tefillos, and in this way, we're able to come before the king and daven properly. So Shira is the power to battle the Yetzer Hara. When we sing Shira, we say Psuka de Zimra, we bring the world to life, and we see how everything else around us becomes Hevel Havolim. Rav Pinkus continues and says our biggest problem is just the lack of time. He says the simple eitz is to take one pasuk and have kavana with it, and outside of tefillah again, then work on the rest, and then incorporate that into your tefillah. The idea is not to shout it out, to sing it with a song, but to be able to say it with his phylos and his slavos. And then through these psukim, one can find nechama and the answer to all of his problems. Based on all this, Chazal placed the halukas, therefore, in Psuka de Zimra. The Gemara lists there are 10 lashonas of Shira that are written in Sefer Tehillim. and they explain how Luka is the highest, as it has Shvach from the word of Hallel, and then it has the name of Hashem in the Yud Hey at the end. The Kolboy writes that there are five Prakim Suk de Zimra that start and end with the Haluka, which is equal to 10, Kinegi the 10 Hilulim, the David HaMelech says in Sefer Tehillim. 10 is also, we know, Shlemus. And as we said, Psuk de Zimra brings life to our world, so we want that Shlemus, that completion. These Mizmorim, which start with Ashrei and end then with Kol HaNeshama, are built as a ladder going up. Therefore, one has to be careful not to skip any part of Psuk de Zimra. And Rav Pinkus brings that even though according to Halacha, there's no heter to skip any part of Psuk de Zimra. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch that says it's mutter to skip, he says it's only b'mikra dachuk on a rare occurrence, and not something that one's allowed to do all the time. And therefore what is clear is that one who skips part of Psuk de Zimra is skipping out on a piece of life, a piece of this world. And when a Jew sings these shiros, he's building the world, and any part that isn't said is just like Shemesh B'Givon Dom, that he's stopping the world from its natural process. So the Shira then uplifts the person from the tsaros and the tirdos in his life. So now Ashrei, we know there are three special nekudos with Ashrei. It's organized by the Aleph Beis, as the Gemara tells us. It has a pasuk of Baseiches Yodecha, which is also brought in the Gemara. And Ashrei is also a tefillah that has no bakashos. It's purely shiros and shishpachos. And even the pasuk of Baseiches Yodecha is not a request, but just praise of Hashem. Now, through saying Ashrei, we're ma'orer the great chasadim of Hashem. Ashrei set up, as we said, in order of from Aleph to Tav, because we enter a place that all the hashpos come from. And it's all built on the shiras of and tishbachos, on the praises, and not again on these on bakashos. And because in this parak we awaken the midah in sofis, the infinite midah of chesed, one does not have to ask for anything, he just has to trust in Hashem, which is all what Ashrei is. Ashrei expresses that Hashem opens the place of Shefa and Smashpi on the whole world from Aleph to Tav. And the Gemara tells us that in Tehillim there are 10 Lashonos of praise. One of those are the word Ashrei. Ashrei expresses praise and happiness. It means Me'ushar, that one has good fortune, which includes everything. So we open Ashrei and we say all the brachos are brought down to Hashem from this world, to this world. And then we sing and not ask. We just sing to Him. And we praise Hashem from Aleph to Tav. And connected this, we open all the gates of bracha from Aleph to Tav that Hashem has for us. And one who's tied to Hashem lacks nothing, and he's happy, and he forgets all of his problems. The praises here are in general terms, because we want to touch on all sources of Shefa. And if we would be specific, we would never end. When we say Pseiches Yodecha with Shira and Simcha, there's no bigger school of a Parnasa. So if we say this Mizmar three times a day with all of its kavanas, one will be a Ben Olam Haba. And the Kolbo says this is why we end V'anachnu Nevarecha Me'ata V'ad Olam, that we will continue to praise Hashem in the next world too. And Rav Pinkus ends, he says that a Jew who can live three types of days through all different matzavim, but yet the chesed of Hashem will bring life in this world and he will be an Ben Olam Haba as long as he's connected back to Hashem in all of them. The Mishnah tells us, Chasidim Harishonim, Hayushoim Sha'achas, Mispalim, Kadesh Yechavnu, Libam, Lavim Shevashemayim, that the Chasidim Harishonim would wait an hour and then they would daven in order to properly prepare their hearts to daven to Hashem. And the Gemara explains that the source for this comes from the Pasuk of Ashrei Yoshrei Vesecha, Odia Haluchasela. And Rashi explains that they understood that before one begins Tefillah, they need to be Yoshrei Vesecha. They have to sit and meditate in your house. And only after that, then, Oja Haluchasela, can one reach the proper state of mind for tefillah. Now, we're not like the original Chasidim, but nevertheless, Ashrei offers us that opportunity to concentrate, at least momentarily, about whom, to whom we're talking before we engage in that Yahaluchasela, which is to Hila LeDavid and these five Halukos. Now, Shimon Schwab tells us that there are two ways in which a person can relate to Hashem. One is through Ava, a person feels very close to Him, loving, and the other is through Yira, which one is awestruck by His omnipotence and omniscience. This may explain the practice, he says, of shuckling during davening. The forward motion in the shuckle is the desire to come close to Hashem. But then upon reflection, we realize that He's the master of the universe, which causes one to reel back in awe. And these two aspects of one's relationship to Hashem are reflected in the composition of Ashrei. Of the 21 psukim, 11 are Beloshen Nochach, which is second person, where we address Hashem directly. We say you, expressing a loving Ahava relationship. In the other 10, we use a Loshen Nister, which is third person, saying he or his, expressing that Yirah, that fear aspect of our relationship. Ashrei, as we know, is the crown of Sefer Tehillim, which is why it's the only perek in Tehillim which David opens with the word Tehillah. We mentioned that anyone who says Ashrei three times a day is assured a place in Olam Haba, and that the Gemara explains it's because of the two qualities that we said, that it follows the order of the Aleph Beis, and it has the pasuk of Poseach Es Yodecha. And Rav Moshe Wolfson explains that these two reasons complement one another. He asks, he says, how can we say that Hashem fulfills the desire of every living thing when we know that there's hunger in the world, starvation? He says, this question is rooted in total misunderstanding of the working of this world. People tend to take for granted the way of nature, which are in truth Hashem's constant hidden nisim. For example, when the sun rises each morning, we don't give it a second thought. Imagine if the sun rose once a lifetime. People would be so excited the night before, waiting for it to come up. The Chassam Sofer describes the feeling of a Jew who was born in the Midbar, where food fell from the heavens each day in the form of man. This man, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, viewed the way we see food, the way we would look at man. However, the nace of how Hashem provides sustenance to his creations daily, continuously, goes much further. He provides each creature with the particular type of food it requires. Cows find it in the pasture, fish find it at sea, insects find it on the ground, and man finds an amazing variety of foods all over the world. Famine and deprivation are just facts of history, but they're just the exception. They're not the rule, and they occur through specific divine decrees. Now, for the most part, the billions of living creatures in the world have always had their needs provided for day in and day out. And Hashem provides us, each living thing, with the particular sustenance it desires. But that's not all. The Aleph Beis, as we know, is the order in which the Torah was composed, and which the way the world was created. And the Psukim of Ashrei, as we said, follow through the Aleph Beis to tell us that Hashem's system is not haphazard. There's an order to it. And everything, it's so complex and fine-tuned that no human mind can possibly duplicate this order or fully even comprehend the Hashem system. Ashrei is a joyous acknowledgement of the incredible symphony that is in this world. And one who says Ashrei, therefore, three times a day with this kavana and not just out of habit, devoid of any feeling, is truly a ben olam haba. Now we know Shulchan Aruch rules that one must have kavana when he says the pasuk Pseach Es Yodecha, and if he did not, he must repeat it. Even if he's already finished Ashrei, the Shulchan Aruch rules he has to go back to Pseach Es Yodecha, have kavana, and continue. The Marsha tells us on this Gemara that we had brought that, as we again, Torah was written with the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, which provides the sustenance for our neshama. And therefore, it's only appropriate that just as we're thanking Hashem and Ashrei for the physical needs, we should also be thanking Him for providing our spiritual needs. Now, Rabbi Spurrer tells us that if we look at Ashrei, nearly every single pasuk is connected with the vav between the first thought and the second thought. And that's connecting the world above us to the world that we live in. And the focus of this and the rest of the Halukah prayers revolve around the name Yud and Hey. That's the name of Hashem in the pasuk of Ki Beka Hashem Tzur Olamim. And Chazal teach us that Hashem created the world with the letter Hey, and then He created Olam Haba with the letter Yud. Now the first part of each pasuk is the impression of Hashem's manifestation up above. Now, and the second part is the impression that's made in this world in our lives. There are only two psukim that do not follow this order. They are the pasuk that begins with Ches, they're the pasuk that begins with the letter Kuf. In each of these psukim, there's only one thought. And the reason that they're different is because Ches and Kuf spells the word Chok, referring to the mitzvos that we observe even though we don't understand the reasons for them. And these psukim are reflecting that Hashem's ways are hidden as well. We say, Chanun v'rachum Hashem erech apayim ugdol chosed. We don't understand why Hashem has never-ending patience for those who don't follow His will. There's a plan above, but in this world we struggle to comprehend His ways. The pasuk of Karov Hashem further echoes this theme. First we say that Hashem is Sadik b'chol derachav. Perhaps Rabbi Spurrer says that it refers to the tzidkas hadin, the recognition that Hashem's righteousness is beyond our comprehension. and it's not for us to fathom why people suffer. Then we mention that Hashem listens to all of us, to all those who call out truthfully. It's indeed difficult to understand the ways of Hashem, but even when we lack the understanding, we know that He's just and He's there when we call out to Him. And Rav Sparrow also tells us that the first letters of Pesaches Yedecha, and we will touch on this again when we get to Pesaches Yedecha, is Pei, Aleph, and Yud, which equals 91. The role as the ultimate judge, the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, which equals 26, and the Shem Adnos, which equals 65, which together equals 91, refer to His mercy, and His role as the ultimate judge. So we see there are two aspects of Hashem. He's the judge and the provider. And anyone who has worked to support a family knows that doing so requires the highest level of both of these. And the daily miracles of the mezonos of Shel Adam, the food one needs to survive, are no less miraculous than Hashem splitting the sea. And the balance of the two elements of the Aleph Beis and Poseches Yedecha is what makes one, again, a Ben Olam Haba, who understands that everything, whether we understand it or we do not understand it, all comes from Hashem. Now the story, maybe we'll see if we'll finish it. So next week, Bernie did not receive an email from his heavenly contact. He sat down in his seat Shabbos morning, wondering why there was no correspondence, when a stranger handed him an email. "This was sent to me for you," said the man. Bernie slowly read the email and his face turned white. He looked as if he had seen a ghost. Here's what the email said. "From an impatient Malach to Bernie Goldberg, subject, the proof. Bernie Goldberg, the heavenly court's running out of patience with you. I have been authorized to reveal information that only you know to prove that I am an authentic Malach. You've been praying recently that Dr. Stanford Bennett, the famous ophthalmologist, operate on your son's eyes. Your prayers were sincere, but I have not taken them to heaven because you invalidate your request with your incessant talking." Bernie was stunned. It was impossible for anyone to be aware of his inner thoughts. Only Hashem or an angel could have possibly known. So Rabbi Cohen was not sending emails as a practical joke. Bernie sat through davening in a dazed state of disbelief. Before Moshe, Rabbi Cohen stood to deliver his weekly sermon. His eyes were particularly intent and his gaze repeatedly returned to Bernie as he spoke with measured deliberation. "We're about to recite the Musaf Shemana Esrei. This prayer begins with the standard introductory phrase, Hashem Sefasai Tivtach, Hashem open my lips." Rav Yonatan Eifshitz explains why we make this request. "When one stands before the master of the universe, one's vocal cords should freeze in paralysis out of fear. We therefore offer a special prayer that Hashem should grant us the fortitude to open our lips in prayer." Rav Elia Lapian underscores this thought by relating a story that occurred in Russia under Tsar Nicholas. An engineer built a major roadway in Moscow. The Tsar was so impressed with the road that he honored the engineer by granting him an audience in the royal palace. When the man appeared before the Tsar, he was so overwhelmed with fear that his vocal cords froze and he could not utter a word. The man never recovered from the trauma and he remained mute for the remainder of his life. My friends, the Tsar of Russia is not even a speck of dust compared to Hashem. If the engineer became mute because he stood before the Tsar, kal vachomer, we should be unable to utter a sound when standing before Hashem in tefillah. And this is why we begin every Shemoneh Esrei with a short plea to Hashem to open our lips. Bernie listened intently to the rabbi. This time the message hit home and he began to cry. For months he had prayed that his son Simcha regain full use of his eyes. Now he recognized that his prayers, interspersed with countless conversations, were meaningless and futile, and he had undoubtedly angered Hashem with his brazen chutzpah. At the end of the services, Bernie slowly approached Rabbi Cohen. "Gadol avonu min so, my sin is too great to bear. How can I repent?" he wanted to say. But his lips were frozen and would not move. All right, we'll finish it up. So a few days later, Bernie received this letter in the mail from Dr. Stanford Bennett. "Dear Bernie, I am in receipt of your correspondence. I am sorry I have not yet responded to your request that I perform surgery on your son's eyes. I was moved when I read your letter of description of your love for your son and the unfortunate circumstances of his medical condition. I was encouraged that you've been praying to Hashem that I operate on your son and that Hashem should grant your son a speedy recovery. As a religious physician, I recognize that there is only so much that a doctor can do, and ultimately matters of life and death and general health are in the hands of Hashem. For me, tefillah is a very important aspect of my profession, and I daven regularly for the welfare of my patients. I would not want to attempt the delicate surgery on your son's eyes without the full benefit of divine support. By coincidence, or so it seemed, actually there are no accidents in life, I have spent the last few weeks in your community while participating in a medical conference, and have frequently attended your synagogue, I was deeply pained to discover that you converse freely throughout the services and do not realize that Hashem views with disfavor prayers of the disrespectful. It was clear that Rabbi Cohen was unable to convince you to reform, even with his powerful sermons. I thought, perhaps I can encourage you to change your attitude through an unorthodox approach. I am the author of the series of emails you received. Though you did not know who I was at the time, I am the person who handed the final email to you in shul. This past Shabbos, you stood in awe before Hashem for the first time in your life. I hope that you will not reject the lessons of my correspondence now that you know who I am. Please consider the following. If a real Malach would have sent you an email, what would he have said? Might he not have written the exact same message that I composed? I hope with Hashem's help I will be able to restore your son's vision. I also pray that you will continue to see the light. Sincerely yours, Dr. Stanford Bennett. And obviously the homework, even though we didn't get into Ashrei that much, is to try to stop and realize though what Ashrei is to accomplish at least once this week. And then Bez Hashem, we will get into Ashrei starting next week.